This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
In this overdetermined environment of tabula non rasa, reading a diary seems to be a narrow way to rethink, reload, recalibrate the past and the future, and to expand the boundaries of contemporary architectural practices vis-à-vis the totalitarian expansion of archaeology of knowledge, immediate presence, and political dominances. Moscow Diary encompasses multiple layers of meanings and merges at the critical edge of cultural archaeology, history, straying as translation and translation as straying, artistic practices, anthropology, at the aesthetic margin of theory, of architectural theory, nevertheless still remains a political choice or political unchoice and a personal Tagebuch. This project started 4 years ago as a part of a field trip of 15 graduate students of Columbia University. Not by chance, these students belonged to a very particular field of the Graduate School of Architecture. It's a marginal department that is called the Preservation of Intangible Heritage. We arrived in Moscow exactly at the day when Benjamin arrived, exactly at the place where Benjamin arrived, at Belaruski railway station. And instead of a guidebook, we had a Moscow diary, exact October translation. We were privileged to make step-by-step the journey of Benjamin in the freezing cold.
December 9th,
yes,
2 years, exactly. 2 days after Pearl Harbor Day, yeah.
Well, at that moment, we're more preoccupied with the temperature scale than the historic scale, to be honest. My students were really following, in this case, Benjamin's preoccupation with the thermometer. We realized this excruciating physical condition made us realize what a Tagebuch means on a biological level. As well as what a Tagebuch can mean for contemporary architectural practices and theory of architecture. Thank you for bringing up the theory of porosity, the theory of intervals that in Moscow can be taken to the whole new extreme, this discourse on porosity and intervals, because Moscow is about gapping. Moscow is only about the possibility of mapping a gap or an interval because of the absence of determinations, because of the muteness of most of the tourists and inability to communicate with the city, because of the medieval logic of the city that is by definition a labyrinth and with zillions of dead ends and no straight perspective. So there is no clear logic and no clear ability to read the city. So it started as a series of diagrams, and we can see here some of the diagrams, how we can trace the power of a Tagebuch, of a diary, and how we can apply this power towards contemporary architectural thinking. Why a diary today starts to be that strong? Why a diary as a concept starts to be a dominant concept in theory, in the architectural theory? So this extraordinary research of my students and their heroic survival in the freezing cold Moscow brought me to the idea of an entire lacking of visual interface and visual representation of a diary as such, and in particular of Moscow Diary. So this lack of visualization, even though Benjamin is operating with vivid cultural tropes, such as frozen ornaments in the street or disappearance of the traces, such as the windrows or snowflakes, There are these obsessively returning cultural tropes and vivid images as cartoons, you know, in his diary. And we were trying to trace him.
Denkbild.
So for Moscow, it stands, it becomes even more extreme. Because Moscow is remains an enigma. It remains due to its incredible political discrepancies, yeah, and political tensions. Moscow starts, it is still in the process of renaming streets. There are no coordinates on the Moscow streets. You would hardly find a true determination of street, and it will be always, there would be always a gap between an actual map and the actual street, in the Moscow environment. So it's very easy to be lost in Moscow. Aaron was lost in Moscow this winter, yeah, to begin with. So this project is a mutating project. Yeah, it's an open-ended project. It's a diary. It's a straying project by definition. And our goal was to set up some filters. Yeah, set up some prisms, or withdraw some cultural tropes from Benjamin, and I think that one of the potentialities of such reading of Moscow Diary today is to create a possible matrix of resistance. How can we survive today's universe, yeah, cold universe? How can we how we can apply this wisdom of Moscow Diary into today's intellectual practices and everyday life. So I'm incredibly
to be in a non-cartographical.
It's not about cartography anymore. Yeah, in the end, it's not about temperature scale or all this vivid and explicit data that we are provided on the everyday basis. In the Tagesbuch starts with an actual data, with the date. Yeah, it's December 9th. Or if it is inaccurate, he would always repeat or return to a previous date. So it's not that medical. It's not that medical. It's not as a medical prescription anymore, I would say. But it provides us also with the ability of a meta narrative. Yeah, another layer of scanning the city, the cityscape, but also scanning the discrepancies between the cinematic between personal relationship, between tragedies, and between the intervals between disappointments. And not by chance, when Benjamin arrives back to Berlin, he's writing that Berlin is taught, Berlin is dead. Because of the pure ability to walk in the super clean streets, right, and no longer to be stuck in the mud and mix of mud and snow, because of the clear and transparent reading of the city, there is something missing, yeah, and perhaps it's this mystery of the impossibility to communicate with the city is missing. So I would invite us to try to look at this amazing source of wisdom for today's architecture, for instance, or theory of preservation in the whole complexity.